All right, so today we're going to dive into this Massachusetts case, Bulger v. Contributory Retirement Appeal Board. It sounds a little dry, I know, but actually it gets into like some really important stuff about how the law sees regular compensation when it comes to retirement benefits.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't just like some theoretical thing. Right. It has real world implications, you know, for employment contracts and, you know, how your pension gets calculated down the line, all that kind of stuff.
Definitely. So like at the heart of this case, it's like they're trying to figure out this question. What actually counts as regular compensation? When we're talking about, you know, public retirement benefits in Massachusetts, it seems pretty simple on the surface.
Yeah, but you'd think so, but it gets kind of complicated.
It does. Mm-hmm. And in this specific case with Bulger, we've got a few different types of compensation that are being looked at.
Right.
So obviously there's the base salary, but then you also got like a monthly cash housing allowance that he was getting. And then there were also these payments that the university was making to an annuity fund for him.
You know, like a retirement fund, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do in this deep dive is try to break down the Supreme Judicial Court's logic, you know, their reasoning. Why did they decide what they decided? And what can we learn from this, especially if you're, you know, thinking about how different types of compensation might be treated legally?
Right. And I mean, especially for like the law students out there listening, this case is like a perfect example of statutory interpretation in action. Mm-hmm. Like you'll see how the court goes through the actual language of the law really carefully and applies it to all these different forms of compensation.
Perfect. So to start off, let's talk about the main character here, William Bulger.
Yeah.
Who is this guy and what was his compensation situation?
So Bulger was a pretty prominent figure in Massachusetts politics, actually. He was the president of UMass, University of Massachusetts, from 2000 to 2003. And during that time, his salary started around $280,000 a year and eventually went up to $309,000.
Yeah, that's a nice salary. But it wasn't just the salary, though, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. It gets a bit more complicated than that. So on top of his salary, he was getting this monthly housing allowance cash payment of $2,419.
Wow.
Yeah. And then there's also the university. They were putting money regularly into this Vanguard annuity account for him for his retirement. So when he retired, he was basically saying, hey, when you're figuring out my pension, you got to include the housing allowance and the annuity payments, too. That's all part of my compensation.
Which makes sense, right? Like if it's part of what you're getting for working, you'd figure it'd be part of the calculation. But if I remember correctly, the State Board of Retirement didn't see it that way at first.
Exactly. That's where the whole dispute starts. The State Board of Retirement, they said, no, those extra things, they don't fit our definition of regular compensation under the law in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
So they just used his base salary when they first figured out his pension amount.
So Bulger being Bulger, I'm guessing he didn't just accept that quietly.
Oh, no, he definitely fought back. So he appealed that decision, took it to the Contributory Retirement Appeal Board, which everyone calls CRAB for short.
CRAB?
Yeah. Unfortunately for him, though, CRAB sided with the State Board of Retirement. They basically upheld the original decision, said, nope, the housing allowance and the annuity payments, those don't count as regular compensation.
Oh, so that's twice now that he's basically been told no.
Yep.
Yeah.
Twice. But Bulger's persistent, so what does he do?
What does he do?
Takes it to the Superior Court. And this time, things go his way. The Superior Court actually reverses Sri's decision, says both the monthly housing allowance and those payments to the Vanguard account should be included when they're calculating his pension.
Oh, wow. So finally a win for Bulger.
Right. A win at the Superior Court level. Okay. But you know how these things go. CRAB wasn't happy with that outcome.
Right. So they appeal.
They appealed, went straight to the top, to the Supreme Judicial Court of Massachusetts, the SJC, and the SJC agreed to hear the case directly.
Which means they skipped over the appeals court and went straight to the big leagues.
Exactly.
So now we're at the SJC, and they've got this central legal question to figure out. What was the big issue they had to decide?
Okay, so the really big question in front of the Supreme Judicial Court was this. How do you define regular compensation?
Okay.
Under this specific law, Massachusetts General Laws, Chapter 32, Section 1.
Gotcha.
And especially how it applies to calculating pensions for public employees. This law, Chapter 32, Section 1, that's like the foundation for the whole public retirement system in Massachusetts. It's the rule book, basically. So how it defines things is really important.
So they really had to dig into the weeds of this law. Let's start with the housing allowance. What did the SJC say about that?
Well, on this one, the SJC actually agreed with Bulger. They said, yes, that monthly housing allowance, that counts as regular compensation.
Oh, so another win for Bulger there.
Yeah.
What was their reasoning, though? Why did they decide that?
Their reasoning was all about how they interpreted regular compensation. They basically said it means payments that are regular, that happen over and over, that are normal, and that are directly tied to the work that the person's doing. So in Bulger's case, his monthly housing allowance, it was a consistent payment, part of his regular compensation package as the university president.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like a bonus or some random payment. It was standard for his job.
I see. So it wasn't about whether they thought it was fair or not. It was more about like the actual nature of the payment.
Right, exactly. It's about the substance of the payment itself, like what it actually is.
Yeah.
And it was consistently provided as part of his compensation. So it fit their definition of regular compensation.
Okay, that makes sense. But now I'm remembering something I read about this case. Payroll taxes weren't taken out of that housing allowance. Did that matter to the court at all?
That's interesting. They did bring that up, but they said it didn't change their decision. They basically said whether or not payroll taxes were deducted, it didn't change what the payment actually was. Regular compensation for the work he was doing. So it was less about the tax stuff and more about the core purpose of the payment itself.
Got it. So substance over form, basically.
Right.
And there was a quote from the decision that kind of summed this up, right?
Oh, yeah. Justice Greeney, who wrote the court's opinion, he said, and I quote, regular compensation points to recurrent, ordinary payments not inflated by ad hoc bonuses.
Right. So it has to be consistent, not just a one-time thing.
Exactly. Consistent and tied to the actual work being done.
Okay, so the housing allowance was a win for Bulger. Now let's move to the other part of this compensation. Those annuity payments going into that Vanguard account.
Mm-hmm.
What did the SJC decide on that?
Well, this is where things went differently for Bulger.
No.
The SJC said those annuity payments, those didn't count as regular compensation.
Okay, so why the different outcome for the annuity? What made it different from the housing allowance?
So this is where the specifics of that Massachusetts law, Chapter 32, Section 1, become really important. They basically pointed out that the law is super precise about what it means by regular compensation. And when it comes to including money that an employer puts into an annuity fund, the law only lets you do that under two very specific situations. One, if it's for a teacher, which is covered under Chapter 15, Section 18A, and two, if it's for a school employee, covered under Chapter 71, Section 37B.
But Bulger wasn't a teacher or a school employee. Right, he was the university president.
Exactly. So because his Vanguard annuity didn't fit into either of those very specific exceptions written into the law, the court said, sorry, those payments don't count as regular compensation.
So even though it was part of his compensation package, the fact that it was an annuity and there was no specific law saying it counted meant it didn't.
Exactly. And they emphasized why they were being so strict. They said it was all about making sure things are predictable and clear when they're calculating pensions. They didn't want to start making exceptions beyond what the legislature, the people who write the laws, had specifically put down in writing.
Makes sense. You don't want to create a system where everyone's arguing about what should and shouldn't count. There has to be a clear rule.
Right.
And I think there was some pretty strong language from the court about this, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. They were pretty clear. The majority opinion straight up said that regular compensation doesn't include things like annuity payments unless the law specifically allows it in those exact sections of the general laws that we talked about. They even said, look, we get that his contract might have called the annuity part of his compensation, but that doesn't change what the retirement law says. So even though Bulger and the university had this agreement, the retirement law overrules that when you're talking about calculating pensions.
So it's not enough to just agree on something in a contract. If the specific retirement law doesn't back it up, it won't fly when it comes to calculating those benefits.
Exactly. And the court was worried that if they started bending the rules based on individual contracts, it would mess up the whole system of calculating pensions, make it unpredictable and unfair.
So it's like a cautionary tale for anyone drafting employment contracts.
Yeah.
Be super specific about how compensation is structured, especially if you want certain things to be included in pension calculation.
Right. Don't just assume. Be clear. Be specific. Make sure it matches the law exactly, especially when you're talking about things like annuities.
So to sum up, housing allowance was in, annuity was out. What are the big takeaways from this case? What should we really remember?
The big thing is that the cash housing allowance, because it was consistent, regular, and tied to his work, fit their definition of regular compensation, whereas the annuity didn't because there was no specific law saying it should count.
And what does this mean practically for folks who might be writing contracts or just interested in this part of law? What should they keep in mind?
If you're drafting a contract, be really precise about how you set up the compensation.
Okay.
If you want something like annuity payments to be included in the pension, make absolutely sure it fits the retirement laws perfectly. Things like regular cash payments that are directly tied to the job, like the housing allowance in this case, those are more likely to be seen as regular compensation. But for things like annuities, which are more indirect, you absolutely need a specific law that says they're allowed. It's not enough to just call it compensation in the contract. The specific law is what matters.
Don't make assumptions when it comes to pensions. You've really got to know the specific legal definitions and make sure everything lines up.
Absolutely. And for the law students listening, this case is a great example of how important it is to really carefully analyze the language of a law, especially in areas like pension law. The SJC, they focused hard on the exact words in the law, and they didn't want to stretch the meaning beyond what was actually written there.
It's a good reminder that in law, the details really matter. And knowing the exact definition of a term in a law can make a huge difference.
Right.
Well, this has been a really interesting look at Bulger v. Contributory Retirement Appeal Board. We learned a lot about a pretty complex area of law.
We did, and it's a great example of how courts interpret these kinds of laws and how they define things like regular compensation when it comes to pensions.
So as we wrap up, here's a question for everyone listening. Given how strictly the SJC interpreted the law in this case, what do you think is going to happen in the future as the way people get paid changes? Like with the gig economy and all these new types of compensation, will the old definitions of regular compensation still work?
That's a great question, and definitely something to think about as the whole world of work keeps evolving.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.